You are listening to Agent Court Church's audio podcast. The following message, What Should We Say About 2017, was presented on Sunday, January 1st, 2017, by Pastor Keith Smith. For more information on Agent Court Church, including service times, how to connect, and campus locations, please visit our website at onechurch.to.
Well, if I haven't had a chance to say it to you in person or last night, Happy New Year. You know, even though it was his birthday, Jesus didn't get to be part of Christmas holidays. I thought that was good. Anyway, but he did have this annual feast that people had holidays for in his country. It was called the Passover. And one particular Passover, when Jesus was 33 years of age, was bigger than any Canadian Christmas. He went into Jerusalem. We know it as Palm Sunday. Remember the crowds? Some of the people there were there to say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, recognizing Jesus as the King, the Messiah of the not only their nation, but of the whole world. The Savior of the world has come. And so you had this. Now, you would think that Jesus would be caught up in this coronation procession, that it would be so exciting. But you know, Jesus gets down off the donkey in the procession down sort of Yonge Street, Jerusalem. He gets down, and his heart is troubled. That's what he says. He says, my heart's troubled. Now, everybody else is sort of feeling, we got hope for the future. The Messiah has come. And the Messiah himself is troubled. What is there about the future that Jesus sees that causes him to dread going there so much? John chapter 12 in your Bibles. Do you have your Bible or some electronic Bible? John chapter 12. We're going to park with some verses for the whole teaching time this morning. So just look that up. John chapter 12, and then find verse 27. There it is, his first words. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. People in the Passover crowd, all excited, expectant, hopeful, excited about the future. And Jesus' soul is troubled. That deep part of him, his mind, his will, his emotions, they are troubled. What is Jesus seeing that troubles him so much? You know, this is the time of year that journalists and economists and social scientists assess the past year, and then they make predictions for the new year. They do this every year, last week of a year. And I've read lots of the assessments about 2016, and a lot of people are just saying, oh, it's confusing. It was troublesome, politically very surprising. But I thought as I read them all, if I had to put it in one word to sort of capture all that they're saying, I would say that 2016 was a turbulent year, right? Very, very turbulent year. But I noticed that not a lot of people, other than some economists, not a lot of social scientists or journalists are making these grand predictions about 2017. I mean, how do you predict what's going to happen in the future when so much? Matter of fact, I thought, well, because they're not doing it, I at least can do it for my church family. So I am about to make a prediction for you about 2017. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it upstairs? Okay. I predict that 2017 will be very, very, very unpredictable. I mean, how can you predict what Trump is going to do? Does he know what he's going to? Anyway, does Putin, China, Africa, Asia, South America, like how do you predict what is going to happen? What's next in the Middle East? So many good people have had to become refugees and left. We welcome so many of them. What's Europe going to look like after Brexit is processed, the refugees are absorbed? How is that all going to go? Where are the terrorists going to strike next? Do you know? No, because it is all unpredictable. See, you understand. One researcher said, the times we live in have never been crazier. What about the church? There are places in the world where the church is thriving, reaching new people. People even giving their lives because they understand that that means to go to be with Jesus. What about the church in North America? Do you know, I found this quote, every two and a half hours, a local church in the States shutters its doors for good. Churches that were once vibrant and thriving are now repurposed as coffee shops, community centers. Churches grow for a number of reasons, but they close for one reason: the inability to attract, retain, and grow the next generation. They say in that article, every local church is just one generation from extinction. And you see that across Canada. Churches plateaued or in decline, in terms of especially reaching younger generations. So as Christians in Canada facing 2017, how many think it'd be a great time for Jesus to come and just catch away his saints up in the clouds to be with the Lord forever? Get us out of here, God. Get us out of here. How many think it'd be a good time? That's one option. Father, save us from this hour. You know, when I bring a group to Jerusalem and Galilee, Israel, the land of the Bible, the Bible comes alive. It's just our understanding geographically and just so much of the illustrations Jesus uses, they really come alive. But I usually take them up on the mountainside where you can oversee the contemporary city of Jerusalem. And we spend that day, we start there and we spend that day retracing the last week of Jesus. Remember Palm Sunday, Hosanna? And then Jesus went up on the hillside. He could see the panorama of the city that he loved because he loved the people there. And he says, "Oh, Jerusalem," and he weeps, "Oh, Jerusalem, how many times would I have gathered you like a mother hen does her little ones, but yet you would not. You won't see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. Then we walk down. It's very, very steep because it takes you right down into the Valley of Gethsemane where Jesus would go for a lot of his prayer times. And it was there that Jesus said what? Do you remember he prayed before going to the cross the last week that he was here before his crucifixion? And what does he pray? "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." There it is again. What is there in that cup that is torturing Jesus so much that he doesn't want to drink out of it? What is there about the future? He says, "Father, if there's any other way, I don't want to go there." You know, all my life I've heard people try and explain, well, if you knew how gory and painful and how punishing the crucifixion was, you know, the passion of the Christ and to go through, and it's true. All of it is true. That crucifixion method, that technique was adopted by the Romans because it was the most painful, torturous way to punish someone. And then there was this emotional punishment, the suffering. Jesus is betrayed and then he's abandoned by those he poured his life into. But I make the case when I meet with a group of people in Gethsemane that that was not the worst part of Christ's suffering. You see, some people think, well, Jesus just put our sins upon himself. He bore our sins to the cross. You know, one of my little grandsons, over a year old, we were there opening presents with him, and he opened up his present, and it was a backpack. He calls it a pack-pack. And he put it on his back. He said right from the get-go, he knew instantly what to do with it. I have such smart grandchildren. Anyway, says he put it on his back and he marched off like a little man on a mission. You know, "Move aside, mommy, daddy, Poppy, no, no, just move it. And he moved through our kitchen, on into our lobby, which means he moved about 5 feet because we live in a condo. Anyway, so he was a little man on a mission. There's a lot of people that think that that's what Jesus did when he went to the cross. He just got your sin, my sin, all the sin of humanity, and he crammed it into his spiritual backsack, and he bore it to Calvary. Listen, so much more was going on than that. You know why Jesus recoils from taking our selfishness, greed, and sin? Taking evil, falsehood, and death? Do you know why Jesus is so repulsed by that filth? That's his cup, you want to know what was in that cup? Selfishness, greed, sin, evil, falsehood, death. That's what's there. That's what's there. So it's not the physical suffering, the emotional suffering. And if Jesus is going to drink this, if he's going to take all of humanity's selfishness and greed and sin, all that falsehood, if he's going to take death upon himself, it's going to separate him from his Father. And that's what it was. That's why Jesus says, Father, save me from this hour. I don't like what I'm being asked to take upon myself right now. Can you imagine what it was like for love? Just perfect, pure, unselfish love. No strings attached love. But God is what? What does the Bible say? God is? Can you imagine what it was like for love to begin to take upon itself our selfishness? How repulsive. The Lamb of God, pure, sinless, spotless, from eternity past, is that he's had that closeness with his Father. Now selfishness comes in and begins to separate him from his Father. And then he who is just, he who has perfect, holy justice, is asked to take on our greed. He who is merciful, full of grace, is asked to begin to absorb your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole human race. Can you understand now why Jesus recoils? He finds the filth in that cup so repulsive. He says, Father, is there any other way? I don't like being separated from you. I'll never forget when I was in Israel, first time I heard a little kid. You know, how many know the Hebrew word for father or daddy is Abba? And I'd only heard it in a scriptural, from the Bible. And so I heard this little kid saying, Abba, Abba. And I thought the kid was almost swearing, you know, like, why are you saying that? You know, there's none Abba but the Lord, you know, but he was calling his daddy. Interesting that when Jesus goes on the cross, he doesn't even call Father Abba. Doesn't call him Father. Do you remember what he said when he says, why have you forsaken me? He says what? My Father? No. He says, my God, my God. Why does he do that? Because he's separated from that closeness with Father God that he has enjoyed from eternity past. It's being blocked away by your sin and my sin. And so we understand why he didn't want to drink that cup, why he starts to gag on it. Say, I can't drink this, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. We sing that song that says, the Father turns his face away. Why? Because Jesus is taking upon himself our sin. And this is why Jesus recoils from it. And John 12 says he has two options. And you have the same two options when you face all of these things in your future. When you face selfishness and greed and sin, when you face evil, when you face falsehood and death, when you face all of those things, because none of us know what's going to happen in 2017, we can easily say, get us out of here. Did you know that Jesus had that option? There's a lot of people that think Jesus had to go to the cross. No, he didn't go as a victim. He went as a volunteer. He chose to lay down his life. He said when they tried to arrest him in the garden, he said, I'll go with you. He says, put away your sword, Peter. Matthew. He says, records it. He says, do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Don't think for a second I am cornered. I can call my Father quicker than you can say, hey Siri on your iPhone, and he'll respond. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. Greater love has no one than this, than they lay down their life for others. So as a Christian, as you look at 2017, as a church, Pastor Jonathan, Dr. Van, as we look at the future, and we hear all these reports, and how many know the turbulence is going to continue? And who can predict what the future is going to hold? I don't know what you're facing, though, in your personal world, in your relationships. You don't know what's going to happen in your relationships this year. You don't even know whether you'll go through loss. You don't know about your health, your finances, your family. And what about the next generation? We can look at the future, Jesus says, and say, get us out of here. But Jesus says, there's another option. And this is the other option, and it's the one that Jesus chooses. He says, Father, glorify your name. Father, glorify your name. Yes, I am facing humanity's selfishness, greed, and sin, and evil, and falsehood, and death. Yes, I'm facing all of that, but Father, glorify your name. This is the second option. Do you know what he's really saying? I'm going to glorify your name through it. With all of this that is in my future, as I face the cross, I'm going to glorify my way through it. Now, we need to do two quick word studies. One is for the word that's used, name. When Jesus says, glorify your name. Name and glorify. What is name? Listen, your name is not what you are sort of known for because of your Facebook profile. Your name is who you really are. Who you really are. When you're not in public, when you're not trying to please people, who your character, your soul, your personhood. You know, if a business provides a quality product and the service is good and reliable, we say that business has a good name. That business has a good name. It's what they are known for because that's who they are. That's what they provide. What is God known for? How many know God is known for love? Perfect justice. He's known for his mercy and his grace. He's known. How many are thankful God is good all the time? He's known for truth. He'll always tell us the truth. There's no falsehood in him. He has come that we might have life, life to the full. And he says, he who believes in me will have everlasting life. That's our God. That's who he is. There's a verse that says God is love. That's who God is. So what is God known for? All of that. What does it mean to glorify his name? It means to make known all of this. This is God's best. We glorify it. How many say, I live on planet Earth to experience God's glory myself in 2017 and also to make God's glory known to people who do not know him? Amen? You see, that's really what this is all about. There's a lot of world leaders that look at Canada and say the world needs more Canada. I think Canadian Christians should look at Canada and the world and say what the world and Canadians need is more and more of the glory of God, his best, his love, his mercy, his grace, his goodness, his truth, his life. That's why we're here. So this is so neat, because this doesn't happen all that often, that we are here. The very first day of 2017 is on a Sunday, which means we are here in church, which means right from the very first day of this entire new year stretched out before us, we can say, I am here. In this year, to experience your glory, Lord, and to make your glory known. How many would say that's what you're on planet Earth for? Amen? So I want to ask you three questions before we pray. The first one is this: what is your mission then? Let's get a little more definitive here. What is your mission for 2017? What are you on the planet for? You say, I have these goals, objectives, these resolutions. Okay, then that's, they may be all fine and good. But what's your priority prayer request for this year? Did you notice that Jesus said it this way? He says, no, don't save me from this hour. He says, no, Father, it is for this very reason I came to this hour. There's a sense where he's saying, I've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Do you see that? This is why I am here. And then Jesus completed his mission. And then he went to his followers after he rose from the dead and filled them with his Spirit. And he says, now as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And how many know in 2017, now it's our turn. If the world's going to, if people, your neighbors, if friends, if relatives, if people in your life are going to know how glorious God is, how many know it's going to have to come from your mouth, your actions, your attitudes? It's going to have to be because they see Jesus in you. It's our turn. And so the best, you know, Pastor Jonathan, I loved the way you outlined 2016 last night. I almost thought, I'm not even going to go on my sabbatical. I'm going to stick around. That just sounds so exciting. And Pastor Van will be helping teaching while I'm gone, all kinds of good things that will be happening. And then we're going to do that character series together next fall. So excited. How many know our church has a mission? Amen? What about you? Do you have a mission for 2017? How many would at least say, I am on the planet to experience God's glory and to glorify him? To get to know God more, to know him, and to make him known to others. All right, then let's say this together. Let's just say, Father, in my life in 2017, glorify your name. Say it with me. Father, in my life in 2017, glorify your name. All right, second question. We know what our mission is. Second question, do I have what it takes to complete my mission? Do I have what it takes to complete my mission? When Jesus prays, he says, Father, glorify your name. I'm going to face all this in the future. I'm going to glorify your name through it. God responds, and he says, I've been there, done that, and I'm going to do it again. I have glorified my name, and I'm going to glorify it again. How many are thankful you can open up the Bible and see right from the beginning of creation how God has been faithful to reveal his glory from Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah, you know, Joseph, Moses, Ruth, Esther, and then Peter, James, and John, and Mary, and Mary, and Mary. There's a lot of Marys in the New Testament. He revealed his glory to all of them. And the way you see that is by opening up your Bible, because God's word is inspired by him. It's different from any other book that you would read. It's more than history. It's more than geography. It's more than principles of religion to live by. It's God's truth to us. And so next weekend, Pastor Jonathan is going to help us get that foundation for good habits for the future. I don't know about that message title that you have, though. Because, you know, we could get sued, you know, if we teach people that it's all right to text and drive. I'm going to be here next week to hear what you have to say. I know that. I'm going to come Saturday night, actually. I'm going to come all three weekend services, as usual. But what are you going to do? Because, you see, Scripture is unique. It has the ability to nourish your soul, not just give you guidance for your life. And so we're going to talk about that next weekend, and I'm looking forward to it. And then February, we're going to start the community groups. Now, when you hear Pastor Jonathan talk about, we're going to study the life of David, how many said, been there, done that? How many others have noticed this? No matter how long you have served the Lord, no matter how many times you've read through the Scriptures, you see stuff that you've never seen before. You know, I was reminded of that because I got a bunch of pastors were together for my birthday, and one of them was Pastor Stuart Mulligan, who's also my uncle. And here's the card that he gave me, and it's very touching. I'm going to read it to you. It says, remember when there were only three television channels? Remember when music came on vinyl? Remember when the only computer you had in your home was maybe a calculator? Then you open it up, and it says, remember when people used to give you presents on your birthday instead of just cards? Oh, for the good old days. Anyway, happy birthday. Happy 60th to my nephew and pastor. Keep on celebrating, Uncle Stu. And I closed the card. And that was nice, you know, just to get a card from, you know, just nice. He was there. I was going through Christmas cards and just, you know, sorting through, and I found this, and I opened up again, read right through it, and I noticed something I hadn't seen the first time I read it. On the left-hand side, you can't see it from there, but you'll just have to take my word for it. Here's what it says: let's do lunch, my treat. Yeah, I didn't see that the first time. That's like Dr. Van inviting me up for lunch and paying for it himself. I mean, this is not going to happen. Anyway, here it is. Here it is in print. It's like that with the Bible. You think you've seen all Life of David. I've studied that. Pastor, you've done series on it. But I'm discovering new things. I can't wait to tell you in February. But we have what it takes in the Word of God. And then we have what it takes in the person of Jesus Christ, because he's with us by his Holy Spirit. In the community group that I led, and some of the young adults are here today. A lot of them were here last night just jumping around at the end there. Anyway, it was a fun time last night. But we were having our Bible study time on James, as all of the groups did in our church family, and we got into that part. Maybe you may remember the question I asked: what was the worst trial that Jesus ever went through? The crucifixion. And he let his outlook determine the outcome, because Jesus, for the joy set before him, that was his outlook, and that determined the outcome. He endured the cross, and so it was, we had that, and then we talked about how difficult that trial was for Jesus, and how he was separated from his Father. And one of the young women, it was just brilliant, one of those brilliant moments where you just sense the profound truth of God just ministering to people in our group. And she said, Jesus went through his worst trial, and he was separated from his Father. Listen to this: something that we'll never have to do. Something we'll never have to do. Jesus glorified his way through humanity's worst. He took it all on when he went to the cross, and he did it separated from his Father. Something you and I will never have to do. How many are thankful he will never leave us and he will never forsake us? There'll not be a second of 2017 that you'll have to go through cut off from God the Father. How many are thankful that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus? Oh, if God be for us, who can be against us? Listen, I can do all things. I can face all that 2017 has. I can do all these things through my willpower? No. But by the Spirit of Christ, through Christ who gives me the strength. Oh, listen, we not only have our mission, how many are thankful we have what it takes to complete our mission? Amen? We have what it takes. All right, now we're ready for the third question. Is my mission worth the outcome? Because when you face all this, and we're going to face some of this stuff, see, as long as we're on earth, yes, Jesus defeated it all on the cross. We are free from the power of sin, but how many know we still have to reckon with the presence of sin? As long as we're in this world, it's part of our future. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. In him, we'll conquer it, because he's defeated it already, and we have to defeat it, but we know what the future holds. We know where this is taking us. We know the outcome. How many know people will let you down this year? Aren't you glad you came to church? You're going to face circumstances that are just going to just throw you for a loop, leave you stunned and confused. You're going to encounter selfishness and greed and evil and falsehood. Some of us are going to encounter loss. It's in those moments of 2017 that you and I need to remember that this is not all there is, that the best is yet to come. Right? No? The best is yet to come. Because we're going to a place that it's all going to be all love, and Jesus is going to be the judge. So, you know, everything's going to be fair and just. How many know when we get to heaven, Our one song is going to be, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Every tribe and nation, in other words, Agent Court will be there, will be worshiping him, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. God, you are merciful. You didn't give up on us." God, how many are thankful God is good all the time? And he's truth. We're going to be in a place where it's not just life, it's eternal life in a new glorified body, Scripture says. That's what the future holds. So I love the way that Paul the Apostle puts it. He says, "I consider that reckoning with all of this, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." On your bad days in 2017 and in your life going forward, listen, if you're really having a lousy day, remember that this is not all there is. That the best is yet to come. Amen? There'll be a day when all of that will be gone. What are you doing, Matt? Why are you taking that away? That's what the Son does. It's what the Son of God did for us, eh? He takes it away. It's gone forever. And that means that one day you and I will be in a place, and it won't just be the power of sin that'll be, you know, it'll be the presence of sin that'll be gone, and it'll be for keeps, forever and ever. It'll all be love and good and truth and eternal life. New heaven, new earth. The Bible talks about it, and you know, Revelation is figurative, symbolic, but it gets that, because none of us could put it in the 2x4, the things that, glorious things that God has in store for those who love him. And Revelation puts it this way, though. Listen to this. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory, did you get that? The glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Until then, listen to this, the very next verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. How many can say amen to that? So we're going to that place, dear one. Will it be worth it? Oh yeah. In the presence of his love, his goodness, his life, forever ruling and reigning with Christ, the will of God as he intended it from the beginning. It's a big universe. Who knows what he's going to have us doing? But I know this more than anything. I look forward to going before Jesus. Any crown of reward I get, casting them at his feet and saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for my sins." Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing the one who paid the price of admission so I could be in that place forever. What about you? Amen? So listen, do you know why you're on planet Earth for 2017? How many know you're here to get to know how glorious God is and then to make his glory known to others? Amen? Oh, how many can say, "I know what I'm here, and I can face whatever comes at me in my future as long as I know that Jesus is with me. I know when I'm here, and on my bad days, I can remind myself I'm going to be with him, free from all of these things that mess up life. I'm going to be with him, and oh, it will be worth it all forever." How many can say with me, "Father, glorify your name"? Say it with me, "Father, glorify your name." Lord, that's what we're here on planet Earth for. We are excited about, right from the first day of this new year, moving forward into what you have for us. But God, we want other Torontonians and other people in the world. That's why we tithe and give and pray and witness. That's why we long, oh God, for the next generation to rise up and know their Creator in the days of their youth. Oh God, may 2017 be a year where you reveal your glory to Agent Court Pentecostal Church and all of our campuses. And may you reveal your glory to each one in my church family, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Oh, let's sing. Let's make his name glorious.
You were listening to the Agent Court Church Podcast. Make sure you don't miss a message by subscribing to this podcast. Click the subscribe button on our website at onechurch.to or search for Agent Court Church in the iTunes Store. All creative content and production for this podcast is provided by the One Church Creative Team.